Hey there, friends. Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 199, recording this on Sunday, October 22nd, 2006. We're doing a different show today. I'm actually live on remote, although that makes it sound really exotic, and it's not. I'm over at E's house. E?
We're in my breakfast nook.
Yeah, we're in your breakfast nook. And notice how I didn't call it his dining room or his kitchen. It's his breakfast nook.
Dining room's over there.
Dining room's over there. So what the reason I'm doing this show a little differently today is you and I, it's been a hell of a week on a lot of levels. And you and I tried to hook up on Friday so I can get you for the show to record it, but you were too busy. There was too much stuff going on. So I said, I called you yesterday and said, I got to have you on the show. If I have this show without having you on, you know what will happen.
Then the comments will just get really, really messy.
Right. So we figured I'd have you on here. So we're going to get to you in a second. So I'm coming here. So I'm just going to get to you in a second.
That's cool.
Feel free to chime in when you want to.
Seahawks are up 7-3, by the way.
So we don't know what's going to happen because by the time this airs, they may have won or lost.
But I can't see forward in time.
Right. Yet. All right. So this may or may not be a mistake. We'll see. It's coming over to E's house. So a couple things. I was in Canada this week. E, you've been to Canada a couple times. You've been to Toronto.
I have spent a few weekends and days in Toronto.
So I was up in Canada for XO6. Met some great folks up there. So I met Cynix. Did I tell you about Cynix? He's a guy who does a web comic for Xbox Canada.
I suppose my nodding here wouldn't really help. No.
Okay. I mean, great guy. I'll put some links up to his stuff. And then I also met Green Skull, who won the prize for... A, being the guy who came the furthest away, I think he came from Edmonton, and B, he's also the youngest. He brought his dad, so.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was a good kid. So
if you can convince your parents to take you to shows like that, more power to you.
Yeah, so I'll put a picture up. Green Skull posted some stuff on his, up on the web of some of his photos. Although I know he took a photo of me with me, but he didn't post it for some reason. Leave it alone. I also did a quick little webcast with the Canadian developers, the guys who work for Microsoft but do some developing. They want to ask me some questions about XNA, so I tried to answer them best I could. So I'll put a link up to that. And then at the end of the XO6 Canada event, we did a Q&A with Mark Rain and I guess was his name Jerry? I think his name was Jerry. He was the lead designer on all of it. So he works with Cliffy B to come up with it. So
Gears, baby.
So you've played a little bit of Gears. Yeah. More than I have.
But I stopped myself. I don't want to ruin the surprise. When I get my real copy of Gears, I want it to I don't want to know what's around every corner.
Yeah, I've said that a couple of times. A lot of people have emailed me and asked me questions. Well, just play it. Who cares? Well, once you do that and you ruin it for yourself once, and then you see that, maybe that wasn't the final game, it kind of ruins it.
Well, it always takes me back to playing Halo about a month before the Xbox shipped.
Right. The original Halo.
The original Halo. This is, back in 2001, and me and a friend brought a development kit over here.
Right.
And decided we were going to play co-op through the entire game.
Right.
So we got a bunch of junk food, and we got started around 8 o'clock.
Right.
And about 4 o'clock in the morning, we were in the library, which I think is level 7.
Right.
And we hit a bug you couldn't get past after 8 straight hours of playing until 4 in the morning, and we were just stuck. And kind of right there, I said, you know what? I'm going to wait to play games through until they're done.
So obviously the game shipped, and it didn't have that bug in there.
Yes.
And you were...
we found out when we went back to work the next Monday. It's like, oh, yeah, we know about that. Sorry.
It's like, oh. Oops. So that's one of the reasons why when you work in the gaming industry, at least where we are, you don't like to play pre-release games. But we played so I played a little bit of Gears when I was up there. First time. One guy challenged me. We were playing one map, and he challenged me. He says, I want to be the – I said, well, I haven't done it before. He says, well, I want to be the first guy to beat Major. I said, all right. So I went in. I figured
that's no real feat.
Right. So I figured I was going to get in there, and I was going to get my rear end handed to me, but I found the sniper rifle, and just – it was a one-shot one. It was a one-kill game. You know, you had one life. And
why am I nodding?
Yeah, you're nodding again.
Yes.
And your neighbor has decided to cut the lawn.
Yeah.
You hear that? So – well, that's what happens when you go on remote. Major Nelson, the big show on remote. So it was great that we had Cliffy B. Here's a Cliffy B story. Last week, I must explain what that was. I actually I copied the name the game sound, which we will do later on in the show, over to my computer. I brought my laptop with me so I could play it for E in case he hadn't heard it and he could play along. So you heard it for the first time, but you still don't know what it was. So we'll
your laptop speakers sound like crap.
Yeah, they do sound like crap. I don't have the big thing. So all right, so I got the laptop speakers, we got the mower in the background. This show's going well so far. But I got I was talking about Cliffy B. I happened to go over to one of our other buildings last week, and some of the folks told me that Cliffy B was in the building. Like, well, I got to get him on the show. A lot of people have asked me to get him on the show, and I wasn't planning on really focusing on getting him on the show until closer to Gear Ships, which is like 2 weeks. But or is it 3 weeks? I think it's 2 weeks.
I've kind of lost track of where we are on the calendar.
I think it's 3 weeks. And but I happened to run into him, and I said, well, let me chat with you for a few minutes. So here, so the audio from this interview is a little sketchy because I didn't have my microphones with me. I was literally recording it on my recording device, the internal microphone. So it's a little weird, but I was able to get Cliffy B for just a few minutes to talk about what he was doing in town. So here's the interview for Cliffy B, and again, apologies for the wonky audio. It's not as clean as we like it. All right, here we go. All right, so Cliffy, what's going on, man?
Not much, man.
So,
this beautiful, sunny
Seattle, yeah.
Nice and warm.
You came in for the rain.
Yep.
So, are you checking out your forums? Is that what you do?
I'm reading this hands-on preview with Pro G.
And what are they saying?
Unlike Halo, with its run-and-gun soul, Gears of War is a tactical shooter where fighting alone will lead to swift and often brutal demise, a fact which was quickly forced home as an early and over-adventurous foray forward, and it is swift exit from the first round. Cool.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. It's a tricky thing to balance for because, you know, balancing for multiple difficulties, we have casual and hardcore, and we want to make sure that the player still has to take cover
right.
on both difficulties, but it still, you know, is an easier game on casual and a trickier game on hardcore, right?
Is it interesting to see all of this press that's coming up right now? Because you've spent, how long have you worked on the game?
2 years.
2 years.
The idea has been kicking around longer, but more or less.
So 2 years. So obviously, you know, 2 years ago, you've been living, you know this game inside and out, front and back, top to bottom. And is it interesting to see all of the press, I mean, just start happening now?
It's weird, man. It's, how do I explain it? I feel like, you know, the dad, you know, outside the ER.
Right.
You know, where the mom's giving birth and you don't know, you know, if you're going to have the next, you know, president or the next crackhead, you know.
Right.
You're pretty darn sure you got the next president.
You got something coming out.
Not W, but you got, you know, maybe like, you know, Kennedy or Roosevelt or something, right?
Right.
You know, and, you feel pretty good, but you never, ever know.
Right.
You never know. You just, you know, do your best and hope and pray.
So is it feeling more, so how's it feeling right now? I mean, you think based on a little bit of what you're seeing?
I'm like a duck right now.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting there just looking kind of like I'm just chilling and hanging out, but I'm paddling furiously underneath, right? And there's just so much going on right now. It's just, it's dizzying, and this is, you know, it's exciting, it's nauseating, it's thrilling, it's confusing, it's everything. I wouldn't change it for the world.
So I'm gonna get you on the show again in a couple weeks when we get closer to launch, and that's when I can when I'm gonna have time to spend the time with the game. Because I frankly, this is, and a lot of my listeners know this, I didn't want to play the game at all. I had a copy like a week ago, and I said I don't want to play it until
you know. Nobody's bragging right there, by the way.
It's kind of subtle.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want to even play it because I like playing the games the way you, as the designer and the producer, intended it.
Well, and up until even just a few weeks before shipping, there's little things that drop in place that can make the difference.
Give me one hint.
Good to great. Well, I mean, just the final boss, we actually found out like about a week before we went gold that he was actually too tough to beat even on casual.
So you cranked him down.
Well, you know, Ray had made some tweaks to the way that the enemy targets you as far as accuracy.
Right.
And so on hardcore and insane, you know, the enemy tracks you quite well.
Right.
So what we wound up finding was that actually cascaded back to casual, and we wound up reducing his damage on one of his weapons, and then it's still difficult,
right.
But doable.
Right. So anyway, that's why I haven't played the game, and I want to wait until, you know, you tell me, until you call me, Cliff, and say, mm-hmm. Major, it's done. And then I'll
pick up the red phone.
You'll pick up the red phone.
The Nelson light will go up. People will be handing
Cliffy B line one.
The real copy to you, right?
And then I'll throw it in away I go because I'm really looking forward as a lot of people are. What do you know? You've been really focused on a lot of the media events that we've been doing. We saw each other at XO6. Tell me about you know, what are you playing? Other than Gears.
I'm playing Dead Rising right now.
Right.
And I'm playing through Lego Star Wars 2 co-op.
Right. That's fun, isn't it?
Co-op is just so underrated, man.
Yeah.
It's just like the there's a delta between the casual and hardcore right now, and co-op's the way of kind of reaching down and saying, hey, come
right.
play with me.
It's, you know, the bridge.
Yeah, let's play it together, right? And those are the two main games. And I'm big on live arcade. I was on the airplane. I was playing Tetris DS on the DS, of course, and right. DS has a lot of really, really good games on it,
right.
too.
Right. I'm playing that all the time, too.
It's a great little system, man, and I think, you know, there's something about the clarity of what the hell's going on with those old 2D games that I like, that we're finally getting to the point where 3D graphics are good enough that we can tell what's going on and,
right.
and things look like what they're supposed to look like, whereas right. that 3D transition, man, was bumpy. I mean, you look at PS1 and N64 and even Xbox One, and, you know, everything was pretty blocky and low-res and yep. everything, and now we're at the point where we're running in HD, we have tons of memory, everything looks crisp, characters look like what they're supposed to look like, and we can finally focus on a very tight, concise game experience that,
right.
that plays out well.
So it was actually kind of funny, you know, the reason I ran into you is I was over here in the PR building, and you're here, and I said, I got to get him on the show for this week. So what are you doing in town?
I can't really talk about it right now.
All right.
I don't know when this is going to air.
Right.
I don't know what's
That's
going
fine.
On, but it will. I assure you that it's something that will contribute to the never-ending barrage of PR and marketing that you hear about Gears as the hype machine continues
yeah,
to get insane.
Let's talk about the hype machine for a second, because, you know, that's, I think I remember reading an interview with you where you were just worried about it, that it can never live up to the expectation.
Well, the funny thing is you know, everybody says there's no way this game could live up to the hype. There's no way they
right.
could live up to the hype. And then somebody gets hands-on with it at the Chainsaw event that they did with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie,
right.
or some sort of, you know, GameStop guys get together and get to play it. And then they all come back in the forums and they're like, no, it lives up to the hype. It lives up to the hype. And you watch this bubble just keep growing and growing, and it's like, holy crap. So people seem to really love it.
Is it too early to talk about Gears 2?
I don't like talking about sequels, man.
Right.
You know, I think the number one way to curse your franchise, if you're planning it as a franchise, is to come out and say it.
Unless right.
you have the precedent of having a trilogy written by Tolkien back in the day, right?
Right.
So we'll see how Gears 1 is received.
Cool.
And maybe not.
Well, I'm getting the wrap-up signal, because it looks like you need to get onto your super secret meeting. So can I get you on in a couple weeks when I get some hands on
Absolutely.
And we can talk about it? All right, man.
Absolutely.
Good seeing you. So this is actually going to be hard, because I just ran the interview, but you haven't heard the interview yet, have you?
No.
So you're nodding again.
I said no.
But it was great for him to just kind of spend a few minutes with me and talk about what it's like to work on a game for so long, and then, you know, all of a sudden the hype is starting to kick in. So I'll get Cliffy B on for a longer interview closer to Emergence Day. And a lot of people have asked what Emergence Day is all about, and I'm not going to explain it here, because in the next interview that I have, which was recorded at XO6 in Canada earlier this week, Mark Rain and Jerry, the lead designer for Gears of War, took some questions from the audience. So after we had a community party that evening. It was like media during the day. We had community party in the evening, which I think was from like 4:30 to 7. So about 6:30.
Not the evening.
That's, well,
yeah. Apparently. Evening's like 7 till midnight.
That's what they call the evening. So apparently their version of evening in Canada is a little earlier. And I must have, first of all, before we get going, one thing I didn't point out, we got the lawnmower in the background, and E has a couple dogs here, so they may decide to chime in if they like, so.
I gave them bones, they're busy.
They're happy, or greenies. So the community party was, you know, 4:30 to 7-ish. Around 6:30, they shut all the machines off, and we had a Q&A with Mark and Jerry, and I asked Mark Pryor, I said, do you guys mind if I record the Q&A to post on the show this weekend?
Mark Rain.
Correct.
Mark Pryor is a pitcher who's never healthy for the Cubs.
No, I said Mark.
You said
comma.
Mark Pryor.
No, I said Mark prior to the interview. I said, don't make me roll this back.
I'm serious.
So, and I know it wouldn't have said Mark Pryor, because I didn't even know who that is.
Okay.
So, So Mark and Jerry decided to agree to let me record this. And one thing that you won't hear in this interview is, for the first time publicly, they showed the cool Gears of War commercial. Have you seen this commercial, Yeti?
Yes. It's very cool.
It's wild. So I'm not going to play that here, but it uses a Tears for Fears music in the background, and it's kind of cool.
Play the interview. Come on,
okay.
People are waiting.
All right, so let's go ahead and here's the extended Q&A session that we took at the community party at XO6 in Canada this week.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks, guys. All right, so before we get started, I had a nice little chat with Mark, and he has agreed to let me record this entire session for my podcast this week. So if you guys ask any questions, you're going to be on the show. So keep it clean.
What was that?
That includes you, Mark. Keep it clean.
Wait, hang on.
Are you on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, they can hear you.
Okay.
How come I don't get to wear the cool headset?
You have a cool. I'll trade you. It's a dorky headset.
So this is a very rare opportunity where we get to spend some time with well, actually, both of you guys. Jerry, how you doing, man? Good to see. We didn't actually meet before, have we? So
do you not have a mic?
Is it not?
Yep, it's working.
There we go. So
can we turn up the volume on these mics?
So we need a little volume on the headset mics when you get a moment. But what I want to do is, this is a really rare opportunity. We get to ask some questions of the guys behind arguably one of the hottest games this season, Gears of War. How many people saw Gears of War? Did you guys play it? What do you think? So I think it looks spectacular. So let's kick this off, and if you could just raise your hand and maybe make your way to the front of the front of this little area here. I'll hold the microphone up to you right here. I want you to. But when I put the mic in your face, I need you to tell me your gamer tag and then what your question is.
Gamer tag is Action Jax. And the question is, what inspired Gears of War? Where did the inspiration come from?
Inspiration.
It's a good question for Jerry. Jerry's the art designer for Gears of War. So all the beautiful graphics you see, Jerry oversaw the creation of that. When you see the logos and the great movies and trailers they put out, Jerry puts those together. So he can probably give you a better answer than I could.
All right.
Okay. So the visual inspiration for Gears comes from all the same things that we all look at, whether it be David Fincher movies, Jim Cameron movies, to the games that are out there, Resident Evil 4, Graw, any of these games that everybody else plays, we play back at the shop as well. We watch the movies, we watch the cool TV shows that are on, and we draw inspiration from that. But beyond that, we also wanted to create something that was kind of distinctly its own flavor and flair. So we started ripping, kind of looking at European architecture and saying, well, what if instead of in this world where war has been going on for over a decade, what if instead of doing metal and rust, we did something that was just beautiful but decayed because over time with war and et cetera. So we started putting weeds and all kinds of other stuff in there. And the guys, the uniforms on the soldiers are battered from decades of war. So, I mean, I think the inspiration comes from the same place as everybody else, but we put it together in this way. And we love it. We feel like it's really cool and distinct, and we hope you guys feel the same.
Oh, by the way, there's going to be a test on all these answers, so make sure you listen carefully.
So you just, for those of you that are listening at home, and you know, he's got Gears of War faceplates. Those look great.
Yeah, those are the limited.
I haven't even seen those. Limited edition?
Yeah, you can't get these. They're not for sale.
Let me just hold this up for these guys.
Look at that. We might sell some here.
So, all right. So those are Marsky. All right, who's got the next question? You had one. Actually, we'll go right down front here. What's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Green Skull, and I want to know, what's it like working with the 360?
What's it like working 360?
Oh, it's great. I mean, the power of the Xbox 360 is that you have six identical CPU chips. So if you know how to get power out of one of those chips, then theoretically you know how to get power out of all six. So you have a lot of resources at your disposal. The machine has 512 megs of memory, which I have that in my graphics card on my PC, but that's actually a lot for a machine that you're mass producing and selling at $200, $300, $400 and eventually lower. And so it's a very powerful machine. It's got a great graphics chip. It's got a wonderful controller, as you guys found out who played the game today. We're just excited to work with it. You know, but the interesting thing is that story that you all heard about us costing Microsoft $1 billion, that's actually true. So what happened was my partner, Tim Sweeney, he'd been arguing and arguing and arguing, and it's like, we really wanted a hard drive in every single machine. That was something we really wanted. But we realized that the 512 megs of RAM was way more important, because otherwise you couldn't do this level of graphics if you had to both write your program and do your graphics in 256 megs. Nothing would really look that HD. So we argued and argued and argued. And what Tim did is he actually sent them a screenshot of what Gears of War would look like if we could only have 256 megs of memory. So the day they made the decision, we were apparently the first developer they called. And we were at Game Developer Conference, was it 2 years ago? And then I got a call from the chief financial officer of MGS, and he says, I just want you to know you cost me $1 billion. And I said, no, we did a favor for 1 billion gamers.
So I think you guys all agree. All right, who's got the next question? Right over here.
Matt McCool, nerds.com. I'd just like to know,
What's the meaning behind Emergence Day? What's the idea behind that?
Either one of us can talk to that. Emergence Day within the fiction of Gears is the day that the Locust came up from out of the Hollow. So it has fictional relevance within the story of Gears of War. And it started kind of resonating with people just in general. It's a great little thing. And we started to use it in the context of the day that we would release, the marketing of the product as well. So the meaning and the fact that everybody kind of already knows about it, once you get inside the game and it's referred to, the fiction then takes over and you start really resonating with the idea of these guys coming up out of the Hollow on Emergence Day, and it definitely plays a part of the story.
Well, it's also a double entendre, of course, in Microsoft's marketing that they're saying Emergence Day is the day the game emerges in stores. And to set you straight on that, the game actually ships on the 7th, and what is that bell? That's driving me nuts. And some of the bigger chain stores are actually going to have their trucks parked right at Microsoft's factories, and they're going to try and get it out as soon as the next day. So you could buy the game presumably as early as, I don't know, the 8th, maybe even the 7th for stores that are closer to Seattle. But the reason why they use the 12th is because that's when Best Buy and Walmart and Target, the really, really big stores, where, truth be told, the majority of gamers are going to actually get the game over the life of the game. And so they want to make sure that's a general availability date. Everybody should have it by then.
So basically, so Emergence Day is the 12th. That's pretty much the day that anybody can walk into a store and pretty much buy the game.
Well, they better be able to.
And you're going to as well.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it. All right. But
check with your retailer, because they should have a pretty good idea if it's EB or GameStop or one of the companies like that. They should have a pretty good idea when they'll have
it. And most of you have your local game retailer on speed dial anyway.
Wait, y'all pre-ordered, right?
Yeah. Right? All right, there we go.
So. Hey, raise your hand if you're the limited edition. Oh, come on, guys. You better
come on.
Those people with their
come
hands
on.
Down.
Can you actually tell us the difference between the two editions for those people that don't know that want to pre-order it this week?
The limited edition comes in a really sexy metal tin that's embossed and has a different, has the Crimson Omen symbol on the front and a picture of the four main characters on the back. It comes with a hardcover art book. That's why the tin is bigger than if you saw the Halo 2 limited edition.
Yep, yep.
It's not like that. This is an actual tin and the cover's embossed. And then there's also a DVD inside with some background stuff. There's an awesome movie that Jerry and a bunch of his guys made that was our Christmas movie. So you get to see behind the scenes at Epic Games. There's the MTV launch, the race to E3. There's a bunch of other things on the DVD as well.
There
it's
you
really
go.
Cool.
So go pre-order.
And the art book is the real prize. The art book and the collector's tin are the big prizes there, but the DVD has some very cool stuff on
cool.
it.
Cool. Thank you, Mark. All right, we're going to go to you right down front. What's your gamer tag?
007. Why'd you guys choose Sarah and not Earth?
Sarah not what?
Earth.
You'll find out one day. That's all we can say.
Can't give too much of it away. All right, let's go right over here.
You won't find out in the first Gears game. That's not to say there are going to be more, but you won't find out in this game.
All right.
Well, Gamertag Slump, question is, I'm sure that Gears of War is going to be a hit, but are you guys planning to expanding the franchise, like sequel, movie, like Halo?
No, no, Gears of War won't be big. It's the same size as any other game you buy. That's the only answer we have for that question.
Yeah, it's funny. I ran into Cliffy up at Microsoft earlier this week, and I asked him pretty much the same question. He said he didn't want to jinx it, so he just wants they just want to let the game happen and let it be the hopefully.
Let's see how the first one sells before we make any determinations.
Exactly. Right over here.
Diabetic Sith, and my question is there going to be a Gears of War demo on the marketplace anytime soon?
Okay, kick him out of here. Whoever says the word demo, show him the door.
And why is that, Mark?
No, well, the point was you could either have the game this year or the demo this year. Who wants the demo this year instead of the game?
Yeah, so you guys want to play the full game. Because demo, I mean, that's actually a lot of questions. Demo's pulling the team off the project and making a demo. That's hard.
Well, it's not just, it's that. You got to test it just as much as you have to test the finished game,
yep.
Which is, you know, these games go through a month of testing before we even hand it off to Microsoft for certification. In addition to that, Microsoft doesn't want to waste their Christmas. Everybody's trying to ship a game before Christmas, and it wouldn't be fair to all the other publishers for us to be certifying a demo. And in addition, the other thing is that there's a lot of stuff in the single player that we absolutely have told nobody about.
Right.
Like, journalists haven't seen it. You guys haven't heard about it. There's a lot of variety. There's no way we could take these first two chapters that we show here, which is about 20 minutes of a 12 or 13 hour game, and really have you get the feel of what Gears of War is. So we figure, at least for now, prior to launching the game and people having word of mouth, let's let the gamers play through the game, tell everybody their opinion, and if later on, if we have time, yeah, maybe we do a demo. But the truth is, we want to work on some other stuff right after we finish Gears, and that we think is more important and more valuable to Gears customers than making a demo for people. I think the majority of people who are going to buy the game in the first couple months have made up their mind long before today that they're going to buy the game.
So there you go. So the answer from the man himself, that the demo is, you don't expect a demo in the marketplace anytime soon, go out and buy the full game.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, after
maybe
everybody's
after.
Learned all the secrets of the game and they just want to try it, who knows.
All right.
I'd rather do stuff for the people that bought the game than stuff for the people who haven't.
All right, we're going to go right in the back here.
My name's Graham. Gamertag is Laughingstock. And I hate to put you on the spot with this.
Oh,
but was
boy.
There anything that you really loved that you had to cut out just because of time?
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you what part of it, though.
Right, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go over here.
There's a few things on the cutting room floor. It happens.
All right, what's the question?
Half-Life 84. What was the inspiration behind the chainsaw and how bloody it is? Because it is incredibly fun.
Can I say that again?
The chainsaw. I want to know the inspiration behind the chainsaw and how bloody it is.
Yeah, it's the old chocolate and peanut butter. You know, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. Cliff always says that, right? The standard answer. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to have a chain? If you run out of bullets, you still want to be able to kill somebody.
Right? I agree. And yeah. It's a hell of a lot of fun. All right, right over here.
You never run out of gas. Where it is, I don't know.
Gamertag, Blizzard Daddy. What I wanted to know was, how do you see Gears of War being that much better of a third-person shooter than ones that have come behind it? Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about how graphically enhanced it is, how beautiful the game looks. Other than how it looks, how do you feel Gears of War is standing out from other third-person shooters?
Did you play it? Oh, well, play it, and then you tell me.
All right, there you go. You got to play it. Go ahead.
Okay, Gamertag is Winter Dragon. Now, we've already seen the 4v4 multiplayer. Now, the ship product, is that going to have, like, other formats for multiplayer, like Capture the Flag, maybe even Free-for-All Deathmatch?
No Free-for-All Deathmatch.
Two other modes, but
we haven't talked about them.
All right. I'm going to shoot over here off to the right-hand side.
We've given out the name of them. We just haven't
maybe.
Said what they
are. Okay. I mean, we want you guys, when you get the game, to have fun finding out new things. We told you everything now. It still would be fun, but we'd rather you get in there and
more surprises
something.
Are always good.
Yep.
I'm Andrew Dark. I just wanted to ask, why are there going to be any bots in the multiplayer, like Perfect Dark?
Bots?
No bots.
You can go on Xbox Live and get your ass kicked.
You can smack. You can smack the locust down in single player, and you can do it in co-op. I mean, we have jump in, jump out co-op. In other words, you can invite a friend to come join your game over Xbox Live, or do split screen or system link. But Xbox Live will obviously be the way most people do that, and they can just jump it at any time and take over Dom. And you can't even tell when the transaction happens. It's just, you know, they'll just start talking to you. Hey, I'm here now. What do you want me to do? You know, that kind of thing. And so that's something we thought was more valuable than having bots. And again, we would have had to do a lot more AI work. And I mean, there's lots of fun battles in the game anyway. So bots would have been a big job for, you know, the game's really we've been playing the multiplayer here, but the game at heart is really a great single player game. So we really wanted to focus on things that worked around the single player game, and not enough games have co-op. And so we thought that'd be really, really good to have in this kind of a game. And the same way, as soon as you jump out of the game, Dom just goes back to doing the stuff that he knows how to do anyway.
Good, good, good.
Fun.
Yes.
Hi, my name's Erasmo, and I'm a Gamertag's Bulletproof E.
Louder.
My Gamertag's Bulletproof E, and I was wondering how long the game's been under development.
Oh, yeah. So I would say, how long do we prototyped this game way back when as a game called Unreal Warfare in Unreal Engine 2. But then we had to stop most of the development and finish up Unreal Tournament 2003 and do Unreal Tournament 2004. And we kind of decided at that point, well, this is going to be redone in our new engine anyway. And we ended up giving away, and this is, remember this, this is the kind of company Epic is. We ended up giving away almost all the content from that research that we did, some characters, the static meshes, we created some levels from that content as bonus pack for 2004, as for UT 2004. And so I'd say the game in earnest started a little over 2 years ago, this game. Because if you go back and you see screenshots of the old military character, he was very stiff and totally different idea than Marcus, and the game was a lot different. And so I'd say the real Gears of War is, what do you, two?
A little over two.
Yeah, a little over two. You know.
Right over here.
Hi, Gamertag's Keaton. And since he's not here to defend himself, I'm just kind of curious what it's like with working such a, with such a weird personality like Cliffy.
Oh, he's an ass.
You hear that, Cliffy?
Oh, he takes all the credit for my hard work.
And Jerry's, too.
Yeah, well, duh. No, Cliff's awesome. He's,
Cliff's great to work with.
Cliff's really the inspiration behind this game. And what Cliff brings to it beyond kind of helping, like he worked with Eric and Susan, and these are writers and dialogue writers, and he worked with Jerry, what can we accomplish, how can we do this, and he worked with Mike, can we really engineer this, and he worked with all the programs, you know, he works with everybody. It's not, you know, everybody knows he's the designer, but it really is a collaborative effort. If Jerry says, I can't do that, Cliff finds another route to solve the problem. You know, he comes up with another idea for character, and Jerry says, yeah, we can do that, no problem. But the cool thing about Cliff, where he really comes into his own, is when the game is up and running, he is the tweak master. I mean, he knows exactly how to make that weapon feel just right. And sometimes he has to argue with the programmers about it because it's difficult to do. But he always seems able to, you know, cry and scream and stamp his feet on the floor to get it to be just right. I mean, when you play the game, you feel kind of precision of the weapons and how good they feel and how, what cool ideas they have. That's what Cliff's specialty is, taking a game and just making it better.
All right.
Gamertag Cows, how important is the gamer score to Epic, and what kind of achievements do they have planned for Gears of War?
Good question. I have no idea what the answer is. Do you?
No. We have lots of cool achievements.
That's a Cliff question. A Cliff and Rod question.
Yes.
Rod's the producer.
All right, got to go right over here.
I admit, I don't know everything about this game.
Gamertag Daketh, what's your policy, or do you have any information regarding future content through the marketplace?
I couldn't hear the question.
How you're going
future
to support
marketplace content.
Downloadable content, Mark's favorite subject.
Downloadable. Well, we figure levels should go for at least $40 each. Skins? Well, skins. Jerry has to do them, so that raises the price by another $40. We don't really have a policy. We haven't formulated that yet. But like I like to remind people, Epic is a giving company. We make sure that if you buy a game that has our name on it, it's going to be a good value. So there will be downloadable content. I don't know how soon or how much. There will be some free downloadable content. I don't know if Microsoft will try and convince us to sell some or not, but we won't nickel and dime you if we can get away
with
it.
I'll do what I can to make it free.
All right.
All right, who's something right over here?
Tex Phoenix Dog. I was wondering, as non-biased as you can be, how does Gears of War rate for development than Unreal Tournament?
Say that again?
How does Unreal relate in terms of development to Gears of War and Unreal, right?
I don't really understand the question.
But rephrase your question, please.
In terms of like, development for the games, which would you say would be more fun?
They're both fun, right?
Yeah, they're both.
Jerry's art director on both of them.
Yep. So I have fun with both. No, they're awesome games to work on, and they're different enough that we have a blast working on both. I mean, Unreal has a legacy that comes with it. Unreal Tournament does. That's really fun to play in. There's a lot of subtle things we can do. Whereas Gears, we're making it up from scratch. So for Gears 1, a lot of times it was trying to make sure that we did made the right decisions that we're willing to live with for a long time on the franchise.
Of course, Larry probably doesn't love that we're talking about a PlayStation 3 game in his Xbox podcast.
It's all right. It's PlayStation what?
Yeah.
There's no online in that game, right?
Of course. Yeah, no online in Unreal Tournament. That'll be the day.
All right, over here.
Oh, no, it's a Windows game, too.
That's right, Windows game. Another good platform.
Gamertag is Ash. Will Gears of War be ported to the PC?
Speaking of that, will Gears of War be ported to the PC?
Don't know yet. Too early to tell.
Too early to tell.
Yeah.
All right. Got a couple time
like,
for...
you know, and the corollary to that question is that this game was developed exclusively for Xbox. It is designed to use every last bit of power that we can get out of this machine at this point in time. We'll learn more and we'll get even better, you know, for future games and get more power out of this machine and more performance. But this game was not made with how's the keyboard and mouse going to work. There was no effort whatsoever behind that idea. So, you know, it's not like people think we have a secret, you know. We did run the game on PC, like last year, year before last at E3, we demoed on PC with the Xbox controller, of course. And, you know, it's just, there's been no attention paid to that whatsoever at this point in time. It's not going to be impossible.
So it's built from the ground up and optimized for the 360.
Absolutely. In other words, you know, I mean, the problem in the PC environment is, how the hell do we make this run on one of those crappy Intel integrated graphics machines, right?
Right.
You know, there's been no, nothing's been held back, right? Nothing's been held back.
All right.
Hi, Nick, a.k.a. Boondock Saint. I was wondering what you guys are doing to look forward towards the online gameplay, if it's going to be any lag or if there's going to be any problems when we're going online.
What's online going to be like with this game on Xbox
Live? It's going to rock. Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. What do you mean? Did you say, is there going to be lag? Oh, yeah, we built in extra lag in this game.
Yeah.
Because we know that you like that. If there's lag, it's your internet provider.
And there's more in the limited edition, right?
That's right.
You get extra lag in the limited edition.
No, it's worth more money because we limit the lag.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So Microsoft has a whole army of testers testing this thing, and we've tested between Epic and Microsoft, and they have testers who go in there. We've had many builds in the last couple of weeks that we take home and play. So we're actually told, go take this build home and play it against the Microsoft guys in Seattle and some guys in England. And
I haven't gotten my build yet.
What's that?
I haven't gotten my build yet.
Well,
what the hell? Okay. All right, I got time for one more question, then we got a couple other things to do. One more question. All right. One more. That's it.
I just want to know where your idea behind the locust came from.
What's that?
How you came up with the locust and what they look like?
That's a question for Cliffy B.
Oh, the art guy.
But the locusts have been a part of the Gears franchise even, because I came out of the project a little over 2 years ago when the reset happened, if you will, and the locusts pre-existed that. The locust drones that you see in the game, that's how we measured our new design for the COG against it. We said, people are going to want to play the locust. Let's make our normal soldiers that run around as cool as these guys and as badass as these guys. So that's the locusts have been around a long time. The creatures and some of the boss guys that you're going to see in the single player, I mean, they fed off of that little crumb, but we went crazy with it. But
all right, I appreciate you guys taking the time. So there you have it. That was Mark Rain. Thank you, Mark and Jerry from Epic Studios for Game Studios for allowing me to record that and share it with you guys. Of course, that comes as no surprise. A lot of the stuff that they talked about in there comes as no surprise to everybody who was at XO6 in Canada. Some good stuff. And E, you haven't heard this, but it was actually kind of...
I've not heard this one either. No.
It was actually kind of cool. Some of the stuff they were talking about, they talked about, is Gears coming to the PC? And Mark said, no, there were no plans. And the one thing that Mark did talk about... was the fact that there were no plans to do a demo before release. So he squashed that one right away.
Did he talk about why from scheduling purposes?
Yeah, he talked about the whole thing. So it was really quite good. So, all right. Now we're going to get to what a lot of people have been waiting for. I mean, they've got some Gears goodness. Now it's time to get into what I like to say, down into the weeds a little bit, and talk to you about the maintenance. We had maintenance on Tuesday.
Yes.
So we don't like to call it Xbox Live is offline, or what do we say? Maintenance.
It's scheduled maintenance. We had this in the plan. We knew we were going to be down for 24 hours.
Right.
And unfortunately, after 24 hours, not everything was quite as rosy as it should be.
So that's a lot of people have been asking, a lot of people that listen to the show and post on the blog. And you posted on the blog a little bit at the beginning, but then for obvious reasons, you were posting less and less because you were busy.
I was busy, and also your blog had a couple of hiccups too.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned this, but that day, which I believe was Tuesday itself, we got over 1 million page views, which is pretty outrageous.
Wow.
So people were hammering us to find out what was going on. But, you know, so we had 24-hour maintenance. So explain to us what the maintenance is. I mean, is that just simply, you know, updating the virus software? Is it, what is it?
I wish it was that easy. So we really had a tremendous amount of things that we were trying to do in 24 hours. We actually rolled in a lot of new servers.
Right.
Some of it was just because we wanted to see better performance. Some of it is planning ahead for all the people that are going to be buying Xbox 360s this Christmas.
Right.
Or I should say this holiday. Pick the appropriate holiday of your choice. Some of it was adding new features. Some of it was going back to old equipment and either upgrading the hardware or upgrading the software. There wasn't a single server that makes up Xbox Live and Xbox.com that we didn't upgrade.
That you didn't touch in some way.
Yeah. Some servers got more love than others, but every single device, every router that we have, every device got touched over that 24-hour period.
Now, I must also point out that for obvious reasons, we can't go into the level of detail that probably a lot of the hardcore geeks would like. You know, what kind of servers we use or what the routers are, et cetera, et cetera. We just can't do that.
Right. There are some things we can say, like Dell servers and Cisco networking gear. No secret that okay. That's what we use.
Okay.
But other than that, I can't go into details, like what model and how much memory and how much disk and that kind of
right.
thing. I can say that the maintenance actually, it didn't start Tuesday at midnight. We've been prepping for this for a long, long time, both in the testing phase in our labs and just having guys down at the data center getting the new gear ready. We've been actually racking, stacking, and building servers prepping for Tuesday for about 2-3 weeks now.
And you actually did an upgrade on some of our other areas. We've got a totally separate network that we upgrade, a private network. We've already done this already.
This was probably the fifth or sixth time we've actually done this. The difference is the other networks, of course, they don't have as many customers. They don't have with one exception, they don't have as much data in the databases. And it's there's just different requirements because
right.
we don't have all these people who are, you know, paying good money trying to play their games.
Right. So we had posted. We were very clear when we were communicating. I mean, I posted on the blog about 5 or 6 days before that next meeting, you know, the Tuesday was going to be maintenance. We posted it on Xbox.com that there was going to be some maintenance. And then we were under maintenance for 24 hours. But as you said, it just went a little longer than usual. So what's going through your head at 12:01 Wednesday morning?
Well, it actually, my brain starts spinning faster than usual before that.
All right.
Because
it's not like you guys realize it's like, oh, damn, it's 12 o'clock. We're not going to make it.
Right.
You guys are tracking this. And let's talk about that. You're in this huge war room with a big whiteboard, and you're tracking all the little issues.
Right. So it actually starts even before midnight on Tuesday. Like I said, we've been prepping for this for weeks. Monday, we try to, you know, do as little as possible because we're getting ready for Tuesday.
Now, the guys, they're doing as little? Like they're hanging out in their office? Or
we're as much as possible, it's like, you know, don't come to work on Monday. If you're going to come to work, you know, come in for a few hours and go home, you know, go to sleep. Make sure you're ready come Monday night, Tuesday.
Right.
We actually really started doing work Monday around 9. There are some things that we can do as far as
9 a.m.?
9 p.m.
9 p.m.,
as far
okay.
as just, you know, staging upgrades, not actually doing anything, but making sure everything's ready so we can push the button come midnight
right.
and get as much of a head start as possible.
Right.
So we've got a detailed schedule with, you know, who needs to be where, when. Some people are at the data center. Some people are in their offices. I'm sitting in the war room, which is just a giant conference room, like you said, with a lot of whiteboards and a lot of food and, you know, junk drinks. I brought in Frappuccinos and Red Bull, and we had muffins and cookies and, you know, everything you can buy at Costco, pretty much we had a table of to fuel the team.
Right. And your data centers are global.
Data centers are global, but the heart and soul of Xbox Live is here in Seattle.
Is in the Northwest.
Yeah. So that's where we actually had bodies.
Right. And so your teams are all, and I think the other thing to point out is, and we've talked about this before, when you do the upgrade, it's kind of reminds me, I've seen the checklist, it kind of reminds me of when they have to land the shuttle. They have to pull out the piece of paper, and it's like, 1, do this, 2, and you can't do number 4 unless you do number 3, 2, and 1.
Well, and so if you walked outside my office, well, you were in Canada, so you wouldn't have noticed, but we had these giant checklists up on the wall.
Right.
Where we actually had each server with a line item for the things that were supposed to happen to that server.
Right.
And someone actually walked into the hall and checked them off as they were done. We had the checklists broken out on a per-person basis. You know, here's your responsibility. And by the way, you can't do step 3 until you've heard from this other person that they're done with their step 2.
Right.
So we have a conference call that starts up on Monday, and it didn't end until late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, that everyone who was actively doing work or overseeing work was called into.
Or troubleshooting.
Yes. So that we could, you know, so that the network people could say, okay, I'm about to reboot. this switch, everything connected to it is going to go down, is person A ready, person B ready, person C ready, and only then do they reboot the switch.
And you guys have done this. This is not the first time. This is what is this the version of for Xbox Live, you'd say?
So we don't actually track it by version numbers, but if you went back and looked at how many different core code bases of servers have we had, this is the sixth version we've had.
And I want to get back to the maintenance and what happened at 1201 when you guys realized that maybe things weren't going, that we're going to need some extra time. It's also important to point out what this maintenance is and, more importantly, what it isn't. So let's talk about that.
Right. So the service, you know, the servers provide a lot of things to a lot of different clients.
There's, clients meaning your Xbox 360.
There's your Xbox 360, your Xbox One. There's the web page on Xbox.com.
Yep.
And for all the new features that we want to add in those clients, there has to be back-end support to make those things work.
Right.
So sometimes the things that we're doing on the servers are for features that are going to roll out in clients later.
Right.
In some cases, they're going to roll out relatively soon after, like the fall dashboard update for 360.
Which we haven't announced a date yet.
In fall.
In the fall.
Autumn, depending on where you live.
Or spring, depending on where you live.
True. It's sometime in the next couple of months. How about that?
Right.
And in some cases, they're for things that we know that are coming but may not be coming until next year, but they're coming before we're going to upgrade the servers again. So we have to get that feature support out there now so that when that thing happens, we're already prepared for it.
So it's not only maybe a feature on the dashboard, but it could be something that a game is doing.
It could be something in a game. It could be a feature we want to roll out on the website. Like now you can do all sorts of account management on the website.
Yeah, a lot of people asked about that. So some of the things you can do on the website are you can do parental controls.
Yes.
And then you can also add points to your account.
You can add points. You can redeem prepaid cards. There's a whole bunch of things you can do there now that you couldn't do before. And for that to happen, we had to obviously roll out new web pages with all that stuff in it. But there also had to be associated changes on the Xbox Live service side so that when the website calls into us and says, user X wants to do this thing, that the service knows what
that thing is.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, go up to Xbox.com if you have an Xbox Live account. Go ahead and log into Xbox.com. Go to My Xbox, and then I believe it's under My Profile, and everything's over on that side.
Yeah, it's on the right side of the screen.
It's on the right side of the screen there. So that's where that is. So it's there's a lot of complex pieces about what this upgrade is, and you guys have been running this service for 5-6 years now.
It's been public for 4 years now, and if you count beta and test periods before that, it's about 5 years.
So it's gotten significant. I mean, when you look back at the first version, that was relatively simple compared to where we are now.
Relatively, yes. Even the first version of Xbox Live, just code that lived on servers, we had over 1 million lines of custom code back then.
Right.
And we've grown exponentially since then. We didn't have so many things back then. We didn't have, Teams. We didn't have voice messaging. We didn't have video messaging.
Right.
It just keeps growing and growing.
Right. And achievements and all the rest of that stuff. Because you guys have to keep track of all the achievements.
Yes.
And the gamer score.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, that's a great segue into what happened at midnight.
Right. So let's talk about that.
So we're sending out regular status updates and checking the schedule as things are going on, trying to make sure, are we on track?
And mind you, you and I had this conversation. I said, look, E, I'm going to be in Toronto. I'm going to be at this event, and I'm 3 hours ahead. So I said, here's my cell. Here's my hotel room. I'm going to go to sleep for a couple hours. Call me when things are ready. So you were calling me like every couple hours.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's my job, waking up and posting. So anyway, I feel really bad that I wasn't there, but that's all right.
That's okay.
There's nothing I could have done.
Yeah. So we're tracking the schedule all along, how we're doing against it, and it's pretty traditional for these kind of things. You're early, you're a half hour ahead of the schedule, then you're a half hour behind, then you're an hour ahead, and it just kind of keeps weaving, but you're generally, centered around the schedule.
Right.
As we got towards the evening, it started, okay, we're a little behind. Looks like we're still going to make it, but, it's going to be close. We schedule a lot of buffer into these projects so that when things will go wrong, because guaranteed that things will go wrong, that we have enough slack to accommodate that and still be done on time with what we've told our customers.
Right.
As we got close to midnight and 24 hours, what became really apparent was that all of our tests were passing, but the one thing we didn't actually have verification of was that everyone's stats were loaded.
Stats meaning?
What rank am I in Halo 2? How many shots have I fired in Call of Duty?
Right.
Any score.
Does that include gamer score?
Game, it includes gamer score. It includes, you know, what were you, you know, what is your kill to death ratio in Return to Castle Wolfenstein, an Xbox One launch game?
So this is everything.
Every stat since the day Xbox Live launched, we have all of that. And obviously, we have a lot of other things in the database, too, like who your friends are and what messages you have from who.
Right.
But we'd already verified almost all of that.
Right.
The one thing that we hadn't actually verified as complete was everyone's stats. And the reason this is so important is when we do a major upgrade like this, we're mucking with the databases.
Right.
Not only upgrading the servers with what kind of code's running on them, but we're adding new tables to databases.
Optimizing.
Indexes mm-hmm. and new stored procedures. Mm-hmm. So we're really paranoid about making sure that when we're done, that we have the exact same number of users with the exact same number of friends,
right.
that all their stats are there. We understand how important that is to everybody.
Now, it also is. This is a good point. When you test, you turn the service on for internal people. Let's talk about that.
Yes. So there's a couple different phases to testing. Once the operations team, my team, thinks that, okay, we've done all our work, we've got some basic tests that we perform.
Right.
We turn on some of our monitoring tools that we use 24/7, 365 to monitor the service
right.
and watch the results. And once we get to where everything's green, meaning working, we then flip a switch on the network, and we open the network up to just Microsoft addresses.
Right.
And we basically notify the Xbox Live team that, okay, test away and let us know if there's any issues.
So you guys now, you basically open it up for internal people, and then the test team kind of, then they fall into action.
The test team, and we also borrow developers, PMs,
anybody.
Everybody pitches in.
All hands on deck.
Because we want to do it as fast as possible.
Right.
Verification can take a long time if you don't have a lot of people doing it. Some of it's really simple. It's, can I still log in?
Right.
And is my gamer score the same? Do I have the same number of friends? If I have 3 unread voicemails when I turn the service off, do I still have 3 unread voicemails now?
Right.
So everyone does that kind of basic verification.
Mm-hmm.
Some people spin off and do things like create new accounts mm-hmm. in all the different countries to make sure right. that's still working.
Right.
Redeem cards to make sure that works.
They run through all the things you can do on the service on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. And then we get a huge team of people to start running through actual gameplay. And we assign teams of people, you know, the 2 of you are going to play Halo, the 2 of you are going to play, you know, Call of Duty, the 2 of you are going to whatever.
Right.
And we have people assigned to all these games, and they play test them the day before the maintenance
mm-hmm.
to make sure they're familiar with how it's supposed to work, because each game is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we turn things on internally, they go through that same sequence of tests and let us know if they're seeing anything that might be game specific, like not able to get into a match or my scores aren't there, anything like
that. Some weirdness.
Yes.
So now this is a good point to stop and say, no, you can't be involved in that testing, because I'm sure that there's people out there listening, oh, that sounds like fun. I know this game inside and out and blah, blah, blah. But no, we can't do that.
The only way to get involved in that testing would be to go to www.microsoft.com/jobs and look for a job on the Xbox team.
Of which there are some. So after that happens, so let's continue on going on.
So all that testing was going on. All the results were looking great. Everything was there that was supposed to be there. But we hadn't finished the stats verification yet.
Right.
And it basically came down to, okay, we have 2 choices. We can release the service to the world, or we can wait until we know that everyone's stats are right.
Now, so had we gone with, obviously we know what we went with, you guys wait until the stats are right, but if you decided with option A, talk about the badness that could have happened.
So what can happen is pick a game at random.
Okay.
And I log into the game, and I score 1 million points.
Yep.
And my old high score was 5 million.
Okay.
So in a perfect scenario, nothing should have happened. It should have gone, oh, you already have a score higher than that. Sorry.
Yeah.
If the stats for that game hadn't loaded properly, it would have gone, hey, 1 million is the right score for you. And it would have overwritten your 5 million in the database with that 1 million score.
And that would have made some people very angry.
Yes. So that's why it's very important to be confident that all that is right before we're done.
I mean, so that's just one scenario, but I mean, there's multiple scenarios. For instance, my rank could have changed in Halo 2. I know some people are focused on that.
Yes.
Or my gamer score could have been affected.
Yes. And for people some people are really into that kind of stuff, some aren't. But some people have invested, you know, hundreds and thousands of hours of their lives into that.
Right.
And so for us to take a little extra time, turned out to be a little more than 2 hours, to make sure that was right.
Right.
it sucked, but it was the right thing to do.
So you say it was a little more than 2 hours, but there was also a little bit of turbulence throughout the day on Wednesday for some people that may have noticed.
Yes.
So let's talk about that.
So we turned things back on at 2 a.m. and change Pacific time Wednesday.
So you called me at 5 and I posted that. Okay, I remember this. I'm just going through it in my mind.
You were a little fuzzy when I woke you up, but I called you. And I hadn't slept yet, by the way. So we turned things on and everyone just sits and watches. Nobody's going home. We're just keeping
the silence is killing them because they're watching all the monitors and whatnot. Like, uh-oh, is this everything cool? Okay.
Exactly. And for a
while, you see the number climb.
Yes. When we turn the service back on, we'll get thousands of people in less than a minute. Everyone's sitting there trying to sign in.
Right.
And when we flip the switch back on, all of a sudden, boom, all the monitors start spiking with activity.
Right.
So people started coming back on. And for about an hour, things were actually really solid. And then as use of the system started to build, we started seeing intermittent issues.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do want to reinforce is at no time was the service ever down. We never had less than tens or hundreds of thousands of people playing on it. But what we did have were a number of intermittent issues that kind of were working their way through the system.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on, you know, what user was trying to do what at any given point in time, you might
have encountered a problem.
Yeah, you could have failed to log in. You might have been logged out. You might have been unable to get into a match in a game. It wasn't any specific, you know, geographical situation like users in, you know, California.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, if your gamer tag starts with the letter Z.
Or E.
Yes. It was truly intermittent, you know, walking amongst dozens of servers, you know, a certain percentage of transactions failing. And now for people who hit it, it sucked.
Right.
No doubt about that. So people were working on that. Literally nonstop. I mean, from the time we started doing things on Monday,
mm-hmm.
People were working nonstop all the way through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, never going home. Thank God we have a shower in the building.
Yeah, that's true.
But we had people, I mean, I just want everyone to know that, you know, not just the operations team, developers, testers, PMs, everyone, nobody stopped working until we had everything resolved.
Yeah, and that's what's great about, I mean, you guys have the ZOC, which we've talked about before, the Xbox Operations Center, which is a 24/7 staffed team, which is with you guys. But, I mean, this is, everybody was working around the clock, except for me. I was off in Toronto, you know.
Right, exactly. Some people had to go party. But
I was not partying.
Didn't you just mention a community party?
It was a community party, so that was a very small...
Uh-huh,
anyway. Sure. I couldn't have done anything there anyway. We'd already talked about that.
Very true.
Okay.
So anyways, people were working nonstop. There were a couple of different, basically, optimizations we had to do along the way. And when we knocked one out, then something else would pop up. What it really comes down to is no matter how hard you try, you can't perfectly simulate hundreds of thousands of Xbox Live customers. We spend a lot of time actually looking at the system and how are customers using it today. And then before we make any changes, we try to model those that exact behavior and have that stress running against our servers while we're doing things.
Right.
Because we want to know exactly how is this going to behave in the real world. But it's just not possible to model that exactly. So we found a couple of things. The most obvious one for most people was issues with Marketplace.
Right.
They would go into Marketplace and they'd want to look at content and it would time out trying to get the list of content, or they'd get the list of content and they'd say, I want to look at that one piece of content, and they wouldn't be able to get to it.
Right.
And there were some optimizations we had to make there. We got them developed, tested, and rolled out on Wednesday.
I mean, I want to talk about that, because a lot of people don't realize that when you guys find a problem, you'll say, oh, it's because of X, Y, or Z. The developer goes in, opens up their code, rewrites it, then it has to get tested, and you guys have to deploy it. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening very quickly.
Yes, and we had a pretty tight cycle. I mean, we literally had developers sitting in the ZOC. We had testers in developers' offices. I mean, people were working on kind of a SWAT team mentality.
Right.
Because we knew how much people were hurting, and we wanted to get it fixed as quickly as we could.
And that's also something else I want to point out, is that all the team, that the Xbox Live team, from operations to developers to testers to Xbox.com, We're all gamers, and so we feel that pain. And I'm obviously on the front lines of people yelling at me. For some reason, they think it's me, which is fine. But you know, I'm one of the outlets for people to talk to. But they, you know, it's not like we're sitting around going, yeah, you know what, we'll fix it tomorrow. I mean, we're really focused on making it happen.
Yes. I mean, I love this service. I love this job. I wouldn't work this hard for anything else.
Right.
It's, I mean, when Xbox Live is suffering, it's like my kids at the doctor.
Right. You stayed there until Thursday morning, right?
So I got there Monday night. Mm-hmm. I was there Monday. I came home, took a shower, changed, went back. Got there Monday night before midnight, and I was there all day Tuesday. And I went home sometime Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
and then I wound up sleeping 16 hours. I was so tired.
Right. But what it is, I mean, these guys, we guys and girls, are really committed to making sure that the service is the best service.
Yes. There was nobody on any team who didn't do their absolute best this last week. It wasn't any one person or team of people. Everybody pitched in.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, stayed and slept in their offices or went home and came back. But everyone made sure they did everything they possibly could to get things fixed as quickly as possible.
So a lot of people would say, that's cool, Lee. So how do we fix this next time?
Well, actually, we've got a long list of things. As this is going on, I'm writing on whiteboards. I'm typing in my notebook. And I've already sat down and talked with our development manager and with my boss about some things we can do to make sure this doesn't ever happen again.
Right. So that's good. So it was a bumpy ride, but we learned.
Yes.
And that's a great thing about having the unified service. You've been here at the service since it launched, and a lot of people have on the team. So it's
yep.
We're there because we like it. And we love it. What else do you want to add about it? Did we miss anything?
I don't think we did. I discovered just how long you can stay awake on Red Bull and Frappuccino.
What were you playing?
What was I? Oh, yeah. So there were points during this where there was just nothing for me to do, really.
Right. Because you're waiting.
Yeah. I'm kind of overseeing things, and when there's a problem, I'm helping, you know, figure out, okay, who needs to work on this.
So you're like Gene Kranz in Apollo 13.
Not exactly, but sure, we'll go with that.
Where you have some duct tape, you have a paper clip, and you got to get these guys back.
It's more like my team has the duct tape,
right?
But yeah,
okay,
we can work with that.
Okay.
But there are points when, you know, there's nothing for me to do. I'm not hands on anymore.
Right.
I'm not in the server, in the router, doing stuff. I'm just making sure that everyone's focused on the right thing.
The right things.
And that when we need to loop someone in from another team, that we've done that. So I've got, you know, a console at work just like everybody else. That's how we test. So I'm testing like everybody else. But it got to the point, you know, after a day and a half of this and, you know, sitting on this conference call that, you know, went for 3 days.
Oh my God.
That I needed something mindless to occupy my hands and my brain.
Right.
So I threw in 99 Nights,
right,
which I'd never really played. And that turns out it's a great game to play during that kind of thing because you don't need the sound up.
Right.
Because I couldn't play a game that required any audio.
So you're just mashing the buttons. And
right. And it was perfect for that. And it was, you know, it was pretty and shiny and it, you know, kept me awake.
Did you get any gamer score? Did you get any achievements?
I finally got some last night.
So you're continuing to play it.
Yes. The first mission for that is actually pretty long. Or the first, it's not mission. It's actually six missions that make up a, you know, a level or whatever you want to call it. And it's long and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got into it, I discovered that I actually wanted to finish it. So I was playing it yesterday and finally wrapped it up last night sometime.
So that's what he was playing. Everyone wants to know what he was playing. I want to continue on though, because we also had some blips unrelated to what happened during the maintenance this week on Friday night / Saturday morning with the,
oh yes,
with there was a Tony Hawk demo that people were looking for, and I've already talked about how other people make promises, and you and I have had lengthy conversations about that. So yeah,
all I can do is just echo what you said, which is people, if someone announces that content's going to be in a marketplace at a certain point in time, unless you hear it from us, don't expect it to be there.
Yeah, so that's the most important thing. But the other one was the Mortal Kombat, the Ultimate Mortal Kombat issue.
Yes, that's what technically is known as an oops.
Yeah, oops.
So when content comes in, we actually have the ability to schedule it.
Right.
And say, this content should go live at this day and time.
Right.
And everyone, I think, knows by now that arcade content goes live Wednesdays at 1 a.m. Pacific.
Yep, for the most part, yep.
And UMK3 just had passed cert, and we were putting it up on the system for next Wednesday.
Yep.
And simple human error, it actually went live right there and then. So,
ta-da!
Yeah, obviously wasn't supposed to. The bat phone started ringing, you know, take it down, what's it doing up there? So we pulled it down, so that's why people were going, oh, it was up there and I've got it. And
here's the screenshot and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was up there.
Yes. And then people huddled, and now this isn't me. This is, you know, Midway was involved, and our account managers that
were PR and marketing.
Yes, and the word came down that, you know what, since some people have it already, the only fair thing to do is just put it back up there and let everyone have it.
So that's what we did.
So that's what we did.
Yeah, it makes sense. Then, of course, there were some people having some issues there where they couldn't get post their achievements or whatnot, and then we fixed that. So
yes.
So that's the reality is oops, and we – oops, sorry, and now everybody has it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I have any more questions. I mean, it's been that's why it was important to get you on, because a lot of people think that the service is, you know, it's simple, and running a service is quite run of the mill, and it's really complex, all the pieces with the moving parts. When you think about, we've got the presence, which tells you so it's important. Xbox Live doesn't only tell you that you're online or offline, but it tells you what game you're playing and sometimes what level.
Yes, and I actually saw yesterday it told me that someone was playing Splinter Cell and had failed at something.
Oh, really?
In their rich presence, had failed at stealth, or I don't remember exactly what it was, which I found pretty amusing.
That wasn't me, was it?
Don't remember. There's a lot of people playing Splinter Cell.
There are. But, I mean, so there's like what we call you talked about the presence servers that keep track of who's online, who's offline, what they're doing. There's the messaging servers. And, I mean, so there's all these other components. I don't want to go through each one of them, but there's a lot of components that have to work together seamlessly.
Yes. It is a tremendously complex service. Then, in addition to the service, we've got hundreds of games that all call the service in slightly different ways.
Sometime at the same time.
Yes. And then we have all of that customer data, your gamer tag, your friends, your scores, and that is the precious stuff. We can't ever do anything wrong with that data.
Right.
So
you probably have a backup?
Yes, we do have a backup, and no, it's not on my laptop.
Or two or three.
In a nuclear safe bomb shelter.
Someplace far from here.
Yes. I don't even know where it is. They won't tell me.
And then they're certainly not telling me. That's kind of interesting. I posted this on the blog. I think it was last night. But it's been a bumpy week.
It's been a bumpy week. I think I've said this before, but I want all of our customers to understand that everyone gave it their absolute all, and at the same time we realize, you know, that wasn't good enough, and I promise you we're going to do better.
So all right. So there you have it. Straight from me, whose team was you guys are the tip of the spear.
Yes.
Because you guys really are making the upgrade. You start the upgrade, and then there's all the other teams that are kind of coming in right behind you. But you're the guys that are right on the ground.
That's right.
The beginning.
So I guess we're the Marines.
The Marines style. Wow. Okay. So I'm going to continue doing the show here. You want to sit? Can I sit in your breakfast nook and do the rest of the show?
Absolutely. You want some coffee?
No, I'm great. Let's continue on here. So we talked about Marketplace. It's right now is when I usually talk about what's up on Marketplace. It's kind of been a light week because of
UMK3 is up there.
UMK. Yes, it is. And so is Tony Hawk. Have you downloaded the Tony Hawk demo yet?
I have not.
Some people will like it. Some people don't. I haven't even looked at it yet.
I've got so many games on my backlog right now to play. I'm actually kind of simultaneously in the middle of like four or five games.
Right.
So anything new is just going to have to wait. I'm trying to get through these games so that when Gears and Call of Duty and Viva Pinata and all the other great holiday titles ship, that I'm actually done with the stuff that shipped before them.
Do you finish them all?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I wish.
Because that's what people ask me all the time is, what does done mean to you?
It's the rare game that I finished. I only actually ever finished three games on Xbox One.
What was it?
Halo, Halo 2, and Chronicles of Riddick.
Right. I remember. That was a great game, Riddick.
I love that game.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else is. So what? You're playing? What are you playing? You're playing 99 Nights.
99 Nights.
Right.
I've gotten back into Tomb Raider. Which I had originally given up the ghost, but I kept getting told, you know, oh, the camera's not as bad as you thought, so I gave it another shot and discovered that actually I really liked the game.
Okay.
It's a lot better than I thought at first glance.
Speaking of camera, you were playing Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars. I love Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
The camera is a little wonky, especially in co-op.
Yeah.
Playing with my son, the camera is tough.
Upside down.
But the game is so much fun that it makes up for it.
Yep.
So I've actually finished the base game where you go through episodes 4, 5, and 6, and now I'm going back through in free play and collecting mini kits and trying to run through the levels without dying, that kind of stuff.
And then let's talk about Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell's gorgeous.
So you started playing that this weekend, right?
Yes.
Because you finally had some time.
Last night, night before, I think.
So I don't want to do any spoilers, but you're right at the beginning of the first mission.
I'm right at the beginning of the first mission. I played through both the training missions. And I have to say, I really like the way they did training. It's different from the way anyone else has done it.
Let's talk about that, because I don't think that'll spoil anything.
No.
So the training, for those of you that haven't played it, first of all, it's worth to go to it because, A, you get some gamer score and points and achievements.
You get, yeah, a little too much, I think. You do get gamer score and two achievements for getting through the training missions.
And they do teach you how to, but it's kind of this ethereal dream state because you're like Sam Fisher in this room and everything's so blindingly white.
It's very much like the first time Neo went into the Matrix.
Right.
So it's got that training room feel. It's just white everywhere, and you can't really see the corners where the walls meet.
Right. There's these mysterious doors that are opening up. And
yes, but there's a voice that kind of talks you through it, and I love the way the voice, when you do something wrong,
yeah,
the way the voice, you know, kindly, gently corrects you.
Sam, like, you have killed someone. That is wrong.
Well, and it's even more, they don't come out and say it. They just kind of suggest it. It's the voice saying, do you really think that's the stealthy way to do it? Something like that, which just I thought was great.
So yeah, it's a fun. So at the very least, you know, make sure you stop the single player right now. Go over and complete those missions because they're worth it. And then we're gonna play some. Maybe we can play multiplayer tonight. I tried playing it last night with Bunyan and Lithion, and it took a little while for me to get my head around.
Yeah, I've heard about all the changes. It sounds like fun, but I have not checked.
Because we spent a lot of time playing. Not the last one, the one before.
Pandora Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes, we played that like crazy when it came out.
Yeah, I remember the cinema. We played the cinema level and the hospital level and all those levels over and over and over.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's totally different. It's much more approachable, and I still have to figure it out yet. So I got some achievements last night for that. I think for killing somebody or something.
I've actually been getting a lot lately because I've finally kind of come off my Halo 2 kick that I've been on for the last year and a half almost 2 years, and I've actually started playing some of the 360 games that have stacked up,
right?
And all of a sudden my gamer score has gone up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks.
We've got some great games coming out. You know, you talked about Viva and Gears and COD3.
The COD3, Gears is really my kind of game though, because it's a little bit slower than Halo, which forces you to use some tactics, which I really, really enjoy.
Right.
Because I used to be a big RTS gamer.
Right.
So I love just adding a little bit of that strategy flavor into a shooter.
Right. That's so we got that coming up. All right, so I gotta probably start winding it up here, but I want to talk. So I'm gonna do Name the Game. You want to play Name the Game? You want to do the Name the Game?
Let's play Name the Game.
All right, so I'm gonna roll the Name the Game sound right now for those of you at home. Here it is. This is Name the Game from last week. All right, so that was Name the Game for last week. Now, E, do you know what that was?
I have got
because that I brought it with me on my laptop, so I played it for you while we were away there.
Yeah, I don't have a clue what that is.
Come on, you do.
No, it sounds like static.
Well, it is actually Need for Speed Most Wanted. Okay. If you listen to, there's a certain little audio signature in there that a lot of people picked up on. Actually, a lot of people didn't pick up on it. There were very few, so I printed them all out here. See all the paper we have here?
Yep.
I have all this paper here, and I'm gonna ask you to put your hand into the list, the hat of paper, and pull out a winner. So who's the winner? And the winner is
Nightcrawler 33, Nitekrawler 33.
So Nightcrawler, let me give that up. Nightcrawler 33, congratulations! You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset, which is always a good prize.
Where's the E headset?
And congratulations! I don't know where the E headset is. I mean, need to get your own show and blog to.
Oh,
I think e.com is taken.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
But so congratulations to that. And I'm actually working on some other cool prizes. I didn't tell you about
this. You're going to mix it up a little bit?
I'm going to mix it up. So the guys from, I gave away some Turtle Beach headsets a while ago, and they're going to send me some more of the new version. But I was thinking about this. What do you think of this? What if I get some of the cool stuff? Because E3 has changed.
Oh.
The stuff that was in the booth. What if I give some of that stuff away? I mean, is that too cheesy to give away like an old TV or something from our E3 booth?
Actually, some of that stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
Some of the posters and things are, there's some great
stuff. Like sound systems we had and all the little rooms in the back. There's some really cool stuff.
Somewhere
so
there's a magic marketing and PR warehouse that has all that stuff.
They're not telling us where that is, I'll tell you that.
No.
So congratulations to Nightcrawler 33. You got yourself that cool headset, and I'm going to work on some more prizes for the future. I'll send that out this week. So that clears the deck for another Name the Game. So here is, do you want to do the intro? Here's the Name the Game for this week?
Sure.
Okay, so go ahead.
So here we go. Name the Game for this week that I don't know what it is because I don't have a calendar in front of me, but was the week after the maintenance.
So here it is. All right, so if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com is my email address. In the subject line, please put Name the Game, colon, and then what your guess is, and then in the body, put your gamer tag and where you're from. Because I always like to know where people are from. I don't know where Nightcrawler was from, but I'll ask him when he emails me back. So congratulations to Nightcrawler. Good luck for guessing this week's name of the game. He doesn't even know what it is yet.
No, I don't.
I'm hiding it from you. So this part of the section, I usually talk about some gadgets. So one of the gadgets I brought with me, your gadget, guy, cool.
I love gadgets.
So this is the new, the phone guys let me borrow their Trio 7, what is that, the 750?
750V or something like that?
Something like that. It's going to be, it's a GSM phone. I don't want to say who's going to carry it because I don't know if that's public yet.
I don't see a model number anywhere on it.
Yeah, I think it's on. Anyway, so I'm trying that out. It's kind of nice feel, isn't it? Like that rubber in the back?
I like it a lot. It's not slippery like a DS.
Right.
It's more rubberized. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's non-slip.
We should make controllers out of that.
Oh, there you go.
Do you think it'd be? I know that we've got some of those controller covers that I've seen, but we should make controllers out of rubber.
I like the 360 controller the way it is.
Yeah.
You always go through your favorite controller,
right,
and you get hooked on it. And I was actually hooked on the Akebono for a long time.
Explain what that is.
So the Akebono is the Japanese S controller, which was different in two ways that I know of. The cable was shorter,
right,
and the buttons were different.
How different were they?
They had a totally
So this is the original Xbox One, the small, which people in North America know as controller S.
Yes. So originally, when the Xbox One shipped in Japan, it shipped with a different controller,
right,
that was kind of the predecessor to the S. And it very similar to the S, but like I said, the buttons were different. And I preferred the feel of the Japanese controller. So I actually still have like four or five of those in the wrapper,
mm-hmm,
because I stocked up on them a long time ago because I didn't know if I was going to be able to get them anymore.
And you can't.
And that's what I always played with. So, and they're just, that was my favorite controller until the 360 came about. And then it took me a month or so to get used to it. But now the 360 wireless is the one I only want to play with.
You know what I started using last night?
Uh-oh.
The wireless headset.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's wonderful.
So I got one of those, and I opened it up, and I'm able to use that. No one can use it yet, but I'm using it on a special dev kit, and wow, it's just great.
Yeah, and being full wireless,
yeah,
is awesome.
And it's great. It's got a nice little. It just you don't even feel that it's there. You're just completely wireless.
And to answer the question everyone is asking, the sound quality is excellent.
Yeah, sound quality is really quite good.
Yeah. I used to always play with the Plantronics Halo 2 headset.
Right.
I actually think this is better. Better really? Sound quality. Yeah.
So there you go. E has endorsed it. An endorsement for me.
It's the E headset.
It's that could be the E headset, because it kind of looks like it. Well, anyway, it's a great little device. So I can't wait till I can use that on my retail kit, which will be real soon.
Very soon now.
Yeah. The way that works is you can't use, even if you went to the store today and bought it, you couldn't use it until you have the fall upgrade to the dashboard. That's a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. Or the spring upgrade, the one that's coming in the next couple months.
Yes, exactly. The spring, fall, autumn coming soon.
Depending upon where you are. The end of 06 upgrade.
Yes, there you go.
So that's, and it actually adds some cool stuff. I don't know. I'll talk about it. What the hell?
Yeah, if you want to break your NDA, go ahead. I'm just going to sit here.
All right, fine. I won't say anything. All right. So anyway, gadgets. What other gadgets do I have this? Well, this week was kind of a weird gadget week because I was traveling. Did you get anything cool? I need to get a new camera, and I want to talk to you because I know you have a Canon digital camera that you like.
So I've got a new camera. Other gadgets, I got a little adapter for my home phone that lets me use a Bluetooth headset with it, which is pretty cool.
That's nice.
I haven't bought a lot of gadgets lately because I've been so wrapped up with everything that's happening for fall for us,
right,
that I've been in a cave, it feels like. And I'm just now starting to come out of hibernation and look around and go, okay, I need a new phone. I need some new other stuff.
So I'm going to actually talk about this in the other part of the show. That if you don't know what the other part of the show is, then that's fine.
Yeah, but just move along.
Just move along. But I want to ask this one question to you because a lot of people have been asking me. What do you think of the PS3 Gamers Day that they had this week? Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure.
I know you were busy, so you really haven't looked. Because I actually called you and I said, what's the news? What's going on? You're like, I don't know. My upgrade. I'm working on it. So I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of torn of the PS3. We've talked about it before,
yep,
like way back when we did an interview a year or two ago.
Yeah.
But I was a gamer long before I came to Xbox. That's right. Why I came to Xbox.
Right.
And I don't just play Xbox. Like a lot of the people who work here, I'm a gamer, not just an Xbox gamer.
You're the one who got me connected or hooked up to a DS.
Right. So I've got, I have a DS Lite, I have a PSP, I have Dreamcast, GameCube, PS2, all that stuff. The PS3 is the first console that I'm not going to pre-order since Dreamcast. it's really powerful, obviously.
And let's be clear, it's not because E can't afford it.
I'm lucky enough to be able to afford some nice toys.
Right.
So, but I don't see the killer app for me yet. I looked at it and it's like, okay, wow, that's a lot of money. Okay, but if there's some really cool game, you know, that's fine. I'll buy it.
So you and I watched the Resistance of Man videos.
Yeah, and I played it at E3, and I'm sure it's come a long way. So,
right.
I mean, E3 is so far before fall that it's hard to judge a game based off an E3 build.
Agreed.
But I don't see anything that, you know, tells me, oh, I got to have one of these.
Right.
I don't have a burning need for Blu-ray. I'm going to be buying my high-def movies in HD DVD.
Right. It's one of your dogs in the background.
Yeah, there's a car commercial on during the football game, and there's dogs on the TV. And
one of your dogs is...
Yeah, Sedona's a little upset by it.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on. I just don't see the thing that tells me I got to have one.
Right.
And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if I wind up with one later. But right now, there's nothing that I'd play.
So we got to talk about... we're looking at your TV. What do you got over there? You got a Mitsubishi?
It's a Mitsubishi rear projection CRT. It's 5 years old, I guess.
But it's looking good.
So it, yeah, I love it. It's
how big is it?
It's 65-inch, 1080i. But games look phenomenal on it. Even 720p native stuff upscaled to 1080i. I did some HD DVD testing. Both with some players that are out in the wild, like the Toshiba player you can go buy at Best Buy or wherever, and also doing some testing with our new HD DVD player.
Right, so you've been playing around with that.
Yeah, and HD DVDs look phenomenal on it. We actually did some A-B testing with one movie, Chronicles of Riddick, that's out in DVD and HD DVD.
Right.
And we watched it in DVD and then flipped over, and the difference is just... astounding.
And to be fair, you haven't looked at anything on Blu-ray on there yet, because it's just...
No, I haven't. I don't have a Blu-ray player. I don't have a, you know, a way to borrow one. I don't know anyone who's got one right now.
Right. So. It's, yeah, I don't know, just... Because everyone, when I interview people on the show, I always want to know what do they have in their house, and here I am in your home theater looking at it, so I figure we'll just go through it.
Yeah, it was... I actually got it when I moved up here to join Xbox. I didn't have an HD TV before then, but I wanted to be able to actually see, you know, the fruits of all of our labors. And we were building this gaming console that was going to do HD, and I wanted to know what that was like.
So I'm just going to go down your AV rack over there. You've got an Xbox, original Xbox dev kit. What's that on top of, a Roku?
There's a Roku for streaming music that I used for maybe a year before the 360 came out for streaming music. And actually, I really like it.
Right.
And
then on the left there, I actually do see one of the prototypes, the HD DVD drives.
Yes.
How do I get in on that action?
I thought you had one.
I don't have one.
Oh, well, you can look at mine.
Yeah, thanks. So below that, you've got an Xbox 360 dev kit. Underneath that is your Xbox 360.
Right.
Underneath that is your high-def TiVo, because you have DirecTV.
Yes, and being able to record two football games in high-def simultaneously is very, very good.
I also want to thank E, because he's taking time out of his football Sunday, his American football Sunday, to sit here and...
I am kind of watching the game. The game's on. It's just muted.
Yeah.
It's Seattle 10, Minnesota 10, with 1:11 to go in the second quarter.
So, this is actually an important game because our boss is a Vikings fan.
Yes, and I really don't want to have to hear from him if the Vikings win. That would be bad.
So,
and sacked by the Seahawks, Julian Peterson. Thank you very much.
Anyway, continuing on your AV rack, I can't see what you have. You have the audio stuff at the bottom there. What do you have at the bottom?
It's a Denon 3803.
And you've got 5.1 in here and all that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're all locked and loaded, ready to go.
And the original Xbox, and then all my other game stuff actually got kicked upstairs to the bonus room. So the PS2 and the GameCube and all that stuff's upstairs.
But you have a whole other gaming system. I mean, a whole other.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about it, because I want to go upstairs and see that TV, because I think I may buy one.
I really like it.
The one you have upstairs, which is the...
It's a 42-inch LCD. It's a Vizio.
Vizio.
V-I-Z-I-O.
V-I-Z-I-O.
Okay, anyways, I really like it. Now, I spent a bunch of time trying to figure out, okay, I need a new TV for the bonus room. What do I want to get?
Right.
And there are better-looking TVs, but they're twice the price.
Right.
And the way I look at it is, well, this TV's almost as good as the ones that are, you know, $3,000. It's not worth twice the price for a little better.
Right.
And, you know, this way, if in 4 or 5 years I decide, well, this TV sucks, I want something else, I won't have wasted so much money on it.
So we're gonna wrap it up here, because we've been yakking about gadgets. Anything else you want to talk about?
We didn't talk cameras.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk cameras. That's where we started.
Yeah. I did get a new pocket camera. So for me, at least, there's two categories of cameras. There's the big DSLR.
Right.
So that's what you want to use if, like, I'm taking pictures of my son playing football or soccer or something. You need a
got the long camera. Lens, the high speed, the good
that does all the cool stuff. And then I've got a little pocket camera that I take if I go to E3 or anywhere I go. I just shove it in my jeans pocket. Yeah, and then I can take pictures of whatever random thing I see around.
Right.
So I actually went on vacation up to Calgary for the Calgary Stampede in the summer, and then up to Banff for a couple days. And I wanted a new camera to take with me. So I bought the new Canon 700IS, mm-hmm. which is a little pocket cam with image stabilization, mm-hmm. which is great in a pocket camera. Mm-hmm. I was actually able to get really good shots from the gondola in Banff going up to the very top of the mountain.
Right, I looked at those.
So while it's shaking, I'm taking shots, and they came out great.
So it's gondola approved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to get one of those, I think.
I was really impressed with it. I would buy another one, but now there's a newer, shinier model. So maybe you should take mine and I'll buy a new one.
Yeah, there we go. I'm not up here. No. That's not the way that works. That may work with somebody else in your family or your somebody, but it's not going to work with me. All right, so we're going to wrap it up now.
Wow.
I offered you something to drink. You said no.
It went this long and it finally gave out. So, yeah, I appreciate you giving us kind of the lowdown on maintenance. I'm sure some people are going to cry that they didn't have all the answers they wanted, but we talked about that.
I hope we said enough to make them feel better about it.
Right. So that's all we can do. So I also want to thank my friends at CentriCom for providing secure and assured hosting for MajorNelson.com and all my audio and media files that will ensure that you always get your podcast, blogcast, this file, whenever you want it.
Netcast.
Is that the new one? Netcast. People are calling it
Netcast. People are pushing Netcast now.
Whatever, I don't care. It's an audio file at the end of the day. It doesn't really matter. So there you go. So thank you thanks for downloading my show. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying have fun, play fair, send feedback, or if you see something bad, file a complaint, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks, E.
Thanks, everybody.
So originally I was going to go back home and record the after show, but you said you had some things you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
So I'm going to stay here and record the after show.
E's little vent.
Okay.
So random friend requests. So my friends list is got a bunch of community people on it that I've met from all sorts of places. The MVP program, various clans, just people I've run into randomly on live.
Cool people.
Yes. I try to always keep a couple slots open on my friends list. I'm always deleting people who aren't good friends of mine to kind of cycle other people through.
As do I.
But I just have this pet peeve because, you know, 99% of the friend requests I get are just a friend's request. There's no text message. There's no voice message.
There's no context.
Yeah. I have no idea who you are. All I know about you is what's your motto. That's it.
Okay.
And just I will never accept a blank friends request unless I know you already and I've been, you know, I've played with you or I've been expecting it. So if you want to get on my friends list, send me a friend request with a message in it, and it does matter what's in the message. I get ones that say things like, "What's up, dude?" or "You're really cool. I want to be your friend." So tell me why you're a cool member of the community and why I want to play with you, and I will add you if you do that. But if you send me something a little odd, or if you can't spell, like if everything is, you know, the letter U instead of spelling out the word U, and you think it's cool and hip, then I'm not going to
accept. Denied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually get the same thing, but people just want me to want to be on my friends list, and I do the same thing. They don't even give me any context. There's no message. It's like friends request. Well, who are you?
This
Why morning, should I add you?
I actually got a random video message, and so I saw that I'd gotten it on the – I was on my laptop. I clicked on messages on Xbox.com, saw I had a photo message.
Right.
It happened to be a commercial in the first game I was watching, so I turned my 360 on to go look at it. And it was just some guy screaming into his vision with a weird effect over it. It's like, okay, thanks.
That's an interesting use.
Not sure what the point was.
But. So there you go. So that's Eiza. You wanted to chime in on the etiquette. So we talked about it a little bit in the main show, but I wanted to talk about the PS3 in the after show. And basically, I'm not talking about them anymore. I'm not going to blog about them.
I can understand that.
And I'll tell you why. It's not because I work at Microsoft. It's because until they ship something, I have nothing to say.
Well, I have to admit, I'm really glad they're about to ship. Because one of the most frustrating things is trying to compete with something that doesn't exist.
Right.
Because everyone has all these imaginations and expectations, and it's just not possible to meet them all.
Right.
There are going to be things that people think are in the product that won't be there.
Right.
And once the product's actually out in store shelves and people have it at home and they've tried it, then we can...
Then we'll really have the discussion.
Yeah, then we can communicate. Then we can say, you know, see, this is what makes Xbox Live special.
Right.
But right now, we're competing against a phantom.
And we're not... So we're not going to... I'm not talking about it anymore on the blog. I've just given up. Because, right, I'm thrilled that they're finally lacing up for the race.
Yes.
They're getting there. They're almost there. So that's exciting. But everything up until this point has been conjecture.
Yes.
And it's just I'm not going to waste my time or my bandwidth talking about that when there's nothing left to say. There's enough people out there talking about it. So
it's like punching the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Right.
There's just no point.
So and what's you know what the most important feature is that the Xbox 360 has that the PS3 doesn't?
Community.
The most important feature is shipping.
Well, yes, shipping is a feature. Yes.
So anyway, so that's my thought there. I was actually talking to Tycho. You know, I talked to him frequently over at Penny Arcade.
Yep.
And he and I were talking about this. I think it was like Thursday or Friday. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about this. He's like, it's all. No one knows what's going on. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. So we need to just. I'm stopping to talk. I don't know what he's doing. I think he said the same thing.
Yeah, I find it really interesting just remembering how we did Xbox Live years ago, and. At this point, you know, a month before we shipped, I think back to how much had we told people about what we were doing.
Right.
And then what I think I know about what Sony's done. And a little bit I'm scratching my head, but I'm just sitting back like everyone else, and I'm going to watch and see what happens.
Yep. I'm thrilled that they're launching. I welcomed them to the party, but I'm not after this segment of the show, I'm not going to talk about them until they ship.
That's fair.
Let me be clear. I'm not getting a review unit early.
No. And I passed on a chance to pre-order one, so I won't have one either.
As did I, so. But I may need to get one just so you and I can bring it over here and hook it up to the Mitsubishi to see what it's like.
I'm sure I will wind up with one eventually.
Because you have your PSP over there. We can hook it up and use it as a rearview mirror or something like that, right?
Yes. And that actually, so that was weird. I was reading that earlier this week, and this was on Joystick or somewhere, so I don't remember if it was confirmed or not. But the story on PS1 Backcompat was that you're going to be able to go to their online service and download PS1 games.
Right.
But only to play on PSP, because the emulator for PS3 isn't written yet. So...
What? Really?
It's just another one of those things. It's like, is that really the... I'll wait a month and find out the real answer.
I've been busy, so I must have missed that one. So anyway, that's the official story that I'm going to take until they launch, which is... When is it? The 17th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 17th,
so
which
about
is...
about a month from now. A
month from now. It's a few days after. Is that same day as Emergence Day? Or is, no, Emergence,
no,
Day, 12th.
Emergence Day is the 12th, 12th. And then Wii launch is, I think, the 19th.
You're getting a Wii, right?
I'm getting a Wii.
You're getting a Wii.
There are... That's one where there are a couple of games that I want to play right now. Like, I want to play Super Monkey Ball with the Wii controller.
Right.
I love Super Monkey Ball.
Right.
I want to play Excite Truck. There's a couple of others. I really want to play Super Smash Brothers with the Wii, but that's next fall sometime.
Right.
So
yeah, you got a pretty good room in there for the Wii. I'm looking at it right now.
If I move the coffee table out of the way, we've done Guitar Hero in here and DDR, the Wii work, all that stuff.
So a lot of people should know this, but and when you say the coffee table, I'm going to point out how people can see the coffee table. There's actually when I was over in Germany, I did a community party and we did a video chat together because I was showing off the video chat functionality. This was before the Vision launched.
Uh-huh.
And some people, I think it was Kotaku, took some screenshots of that. And
this is the one where the Kotaku reporter got a little pornographic with my girlfriend.
Yeah, and the headline,
yeah,
if we remember correctly.
Thanks a lot, Kotaku. That was classy.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, the after show has now gone on for 6.5 minutes, and I think I'm going to go home and put the show together. Do you want to give us a football update? Or no, we're
It's 10-10 at halftime, and there's a Simpsons commercial on.
So, there you
go. Giant? Yeah. Oh, it's the Halloween Simpsons.
It's the Trios of Horror. That's right. All right, so I'm going to I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'll see you tomorrow at work.
Yep.
We'll start another week. We'll see what happens this week.
And
this week will definitely be better than last week.
This week will be better than last week for us and for our customers.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
See ya.